mistakes.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
This on. There we go. Well, welcome to Wednesday Live. We're getting our buttons all lined up here this morning. Great to have you joining us. This is WCNO in Palm City, Florida. It's right now 11:01, and we have an amazing day together for the next hour, and trust that you're going to be in a place where you can tune in and be a part of this this next hour. I have Steve and Cindy Camp, who are with me, as well as Miss Karen. And Karen, we are without David today.
Yes, we are, and we're very sorrowful.
I mean, David's on the planet. It's not like we lost him somewhere, but he notified us of maybe a sinus thing going on. So
a little under the weather today.
So he's just a teeny tad under the weather. But trust that you are blessed, and your day is going really well. Looks like we have a little bit of cloud cover out there, and it does seem as though the heavens have been opened, and we've been having a little bit of rain the last few days. So,
sure have.
Yeah, so we're not going to complain about that. We're going to thank God for that as well. I do need to make just a bit of an announcement, Karen, as we open up. In fact, we just had a phone call just a couple minutes ago, a dear friend of the ministry from Fort Pierce area, I believe. And she mentioned that the signal has been fluctuating, and it has been very weak at times in our listening area. And so if you're listening this morning, you may find that to be the case today. Let me tell you what's going on. It is, first of all, I want you to know this, the new equipment is not the problem. So our new transmitter is working perfectly, and all of our in-studio new equipment that we are still getting acquainted with is working perfectly as well. But there is routine required maintenance that's being done on other people's equipment that is out on this tower. Now, our tower is that we broadcast from is located west of Stewart, west of Palm City. It's out west of 95, and it's about a 1,400-foot tower. We're up about 600 feet on that tower. And when they have to do maintenance on any of the broadcast frequencies that are located on this tower, the men that travel up and down this this tower and this basket have to be protected, and we are a very strong signal, a 100,000-watt signal. Mm-hmm. And because of that, they have to drop the wattage. And so yesterday, I think we were at times down as low as maybe 15 to 17%. We normally run 102%. And so, Karen, what we may do today, we may actually look to rebroadcast this later because we know that we are having some difficulty. And your programs you're used to listening to, you can catch those in the evening. Many of those are duplicated. We have a morning program, then in the evening the program is on again. And so we do apologize for the inconvenience during this time of work that's taking place at the tower. But just pass the word and let your friends and others know that WCNO is not having difficulty with our new equipment. Many of you gave toward that, and we thank God for it. It's working quite fine. Karen, we do have a prayer request. And let's see. I'm going to let you read that, and we're going to lift that up in prayer, and then we're going to get right into our morning, the first half hour that we have here with the camps.
Okay, so this is from our friend Sharon, is asking for prayer for Randy, He's having brain surgery today to put in a, what is it, stimulator to stop tremors.
Ah, okay. Why don't you just lift that up in prayer, Karen, as we open up.
She said also her husband is a quadriplegic and needs her. So Randy apparently is Randy. A lady.
Okay.
All right. So, Father God, we just lift up Randy to you in the name of Jesus. Father God, we just pray, oh God, as this surgery is taking place, Lord Jesus, that you would guide the hand of the surgeon and all those who are attending to the surgery, Lord. Father, we just speak your peace over the family and those that are waiting and you're waiting for the surgery to be completed. And we ask, oh God, that your angels will be around about Randy. Father God, that this will be a successful surgery to stop the tremors. And we thank you, God. Jesus, we thank you. You're the healer.
Yes, Father.
And you are the deliverer. Amen. And we just thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And, of course, keep in mind that you can call in. And you can also send in your prayer request, and we'll definitely lift those up here at the station. And if we have live programming, we'll seek to bring them on air as well. And Karen, it's always important to talk about community calendar because, you know, summer's coming, vacation Bible schools are taking place, a lot of things are going on in the church, and we are here to serve. So how can people get their activities promoted on WCNO?
If you have an event taking place that you would like to get word out to the public, then you can email us at WCNO@WCNO.com. If you have a flyer or a PSA announcement, anything you've got going on at your church or nonprofit, we'll be happy to announce that for you free of charge. And again, like Jonathan was saying, Vacation Bible School is, I think I've got a couple announcements on there now about a couple different churches that are doing that, or whatever you have going on. There's another church with a garage sale coming up, and if you want people to attend your event, this is a great place to do it on the community calendar for free.
Now, I think this is correct. I'm not absolutely certain, but someone had a church had a fundraiser garage sale. They were looking to raise money for a mission trip, I think, for their youth or something like that. And yeah. I think I heard that they had a few hundred people show up.
Yes. I believe she said about
a few hundred.
Pretty sure, yeah, she said 300 people
300,
showed up.
300 people showed up for the yard sale. And, of course, you know, people want to support our kids and mission trips and things like that. So, you know, we're not promising you're going to have 300 people show up. You know, the other day we had an interesting email that came in, and Steve, as a pastor, you would understand the interest of this. And it basically said, would you please go on air and tell people we want visitors that will come with money to our church. We need support. And I'm like, will you please announce this? You know, this was the email that I got the other day. And I'm like, every pastor would like to have that email out there. You know, we would like more visitors with more money to give, you know, to support the church. But I thought that was a little funny. I'm not sure that it came out maybe exactly the way they wanted it to. But if you've ever talked into your phone and left a message, my wife one day had somebody, I got to quit talking, but lady goes, well, I understand your wife felt really strongly about what she is saying, but she didn't have to cuss at me. I'm like, what are you talking about? My wife doesn't cuss, but she was talking into her phone, you know, and so we need to check these things, don't we? Technology.
I've had that happen to me, where I would talk in to send a text.
You're right,
church,
exactly.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, someone's texting me right back, Pastor, did you mean to say it this way?
Right, it is.
It wasn't anything too dramatic.
Oh, good.
But I was like, oh, my goodness, no. So I had to resend it out immediately. Yep. So now whatever I send to Cindy first.
To check it out first,
you know,
right?
If she's not available, someone else to say, put your eye to it. I want, you know, because it can happen in Siri.
It can.
For all of Apple's technology.
It can.
She doesn't do a very good job some days.
And I wonder some days if Siri needs to get saved, because Siri just says things that I would never say. Yeah. Like, I would never say that.
Well, you know, the other day I was on my phone and I was asking Siri a question to look up on the web.
Right.
And she says, I don't know what you mean. And I said, Siri, you're not very smart, are you? Now, this is to this mechanical device, my iPhone. She goes, well, that's not nice at all. So, you know, there you go. It's
well,
all good.
we may have to say, Karen, we're going to lay hands on you and pray for you, right, Siri, you know. But anyhow, enough of the chit-chat with Siri. Want to welcome Steve and Cindy Camp.
Thank you.
And so glad to have both of you with us in the studio. And you are friends of ours, and you're actually located on the Treasure Coast here. And so when I found out that you were on the Treasure Coast back a few years ago, I thought, that is amazing. And how have I not seen it? Because I just remember you from concerts. Let's just start from this. Who is Steve and Cindy Camp? Who are you?
Well, we're married.
You're married. Okay, that's a good place to start.
We just celebrated our anniversary last Wednesday, in fact, a week ago today, the 19th. It is John MacArthur's birthday.
Okay.
It is Charles Spurgeon's birthday.
Wow.
And it is also a friend, Tony Dungy, the great NFL coach, and it's his wedding anniversary as well. But they all pale in comparison to my
yours.
Wife.
To yours.
Yeah. And so it's been fun. And Cindy's a graduate of Juilliard in violin. She's absolutely amazing. And, you know, I tell people when folks come to the church and now our house and they see the piano and they'll say, do you play? And I say, well, yeah, my wife. I'm just so honored she allows me to accompany her from time to time. But, she has a great set of students, you know, from Hope Sound College as well. And she has, over the last several years, done so much for young people with orchestral programs and individual lessons. And so, you know, and I've been doing music since 1977 full-time, and then became lead pastor down here at the Cross Church 15 years ago. And so, yeah, and we're just learning every day and growing on what genuine ministry looks like is, you know, this is not an elective, is it, brother? You know,
it is not an elective,
And being a husband and a wife is not for cowards these days.
True.
But also being a pastor, as you and I are, this is not for cowards either. And it's even harder to say, how can I stay biblical and not be conformed by the spirit of the age, by the culture? You know, I think it's the Phillips translation in Romans 12:2, where Paul says, don't let the world squeeze you
into
its own mold.
Yeah.
And I like how the Phillips voices that. Don't let it squeeze you. Be transformative. We're in the world, but we're not of it. That's more than a refrigerator magnet little saying. We have to transcend the times, but yet, like the men of Issachar in the Old Testament, be acquainted with the times. We don't want to speak ignorantly to what's going on in society and in culture, i.e. we have a little debate coming up tomorrow. We'll see what the Lord does there. If it even happens, we have an election. Do we trust God and his sovereignty? You know, it's interesting. Out of Babylon and Daniel, they had Nebuchadnezzar, a ruthless leader, but then they also had a Cyrus, which helped Israel post-captivity to rebuild. And
God always has a plan.
He always has a plan. Yeah. And what's great is, in his sovereignty, he primarily uses, and this may shake someone's confidence this morning a bit, I hope it doesn't, but he primarily uses unsaved people in the political realm to keep order in government and society. There are godly leaders or rule of law leaders in that paradigm, but I think when Christians make the mistake of, we just want to, if they're born again, I'm voting for them. Well, you know, I understand that. That's a good thing. You hope that they share a common biblical ethic and a civility and morality. But at the same time, we want someone in a place of government to be dedicated first and foremost to the rule of law. If they're saved and are also dedicated to the scriptures, that should add a deeper
That's
dimension.
Awesome.
But yet what we see a lot of the times is people in the church not familiar with the rule of law, and we should be. We should read through the Constitution. We want to be citizens of this earth in a lawful way, but Philippians 3:20, we're also citizens of heaven. So we're not, we're just passing through,
there
right,
we
Jonathan?
There we go. And so how many years?
Yeah, 15 years here.
No, how many years are you married?
15 years.
15 years?
Yeah.
15 years.
Yeah.
So I want to get better acquainted. Cindy, how did you meet him?
Boy, she chased me, I tell you. No.
It was in a Bible conference, Maranatha Bible Conference in Michigan.
Okay.
And I was on the praise team. And I'm sure I'm the only person on the planet that had never heard of Steve Camp, because my circle was Mozart and classical.
Okay.
So this guy came through, and the thing that caught my eye about him was that I didn't know anything about him. So, but he always used scripture. Every time he spoke, he pointed it to the word, and it came effortlessly and naturally. And I thought, wow, Lord, that's impressive. You know, we need more men like that in the church. And then the Lord just unfolded the whole thing, and here we are. It was wonderful.
For me, it was, I thought, wow, what an amazing violinist. But then, you know, I saw her, and I went, apart from any biblical beliefs at first, I thought, this is someone that is really beautiful and so effervescent and attractive. She, at Maranatha Bible Conference, she was cooking for all of the members of the praise team and had a gift of hospitality, which we're blessed with in our church through her efforts primarily. And it's great. And then I don't know why, but when she put on this pair of glasses, I tell this story. The glasses did it. And I don't know why. I just looked at her and I was like, get out those glasses.
But, and God's nudging her. Come on, Cindy, get your glasses.
But during one of the evening meetings, it was very interesting. I won't mention this guy. You'd all know him. But he was a part of the speaking team that week. And he started with a 15-minute exposition of Dr. Seuss. And I went,
terrible.
What? You're wasting time with Dr. Seuss when you could be in the Word of God?
Right.
Well, she was sitting in front of me. We were off to the side, and others were around, and I was sitting behind her. And at some point, she turned around and said, I think you and I are the only Reformed people on this entire grounds.
Mm.
And her favorite book, one of my favorite books, A Spectacle Unto God by the Puritan Christopher Love, who was beheaded for not bowing his knee to the king. Mm. His wife, Mary Love, it's worth the price of admission, are these unbelievably beautiful, profound, selfless letters supporting her husband, never an ounce of regret, but pouring her heart out in thankfulness to the Lord for a man that would not compromise. And we've given that book away to many, of the marital counseling with, and especially premarital counseling. And so I thought, wow, this is your favorite book? Mm. It's not I'm okay, you're okay. It's, you know, it's not Your Best Life Now or whatever. I mean, it was Christopher Love. And I thought, I need to get to know this gal. Mm. And over the period of years, the Lord knitted our hearts, and we got married. June 19th. In fact, I spoke to the pastor the other day. I said, Greg, you married us 15 years ago. He goes, it can't be that long already. And I said to Cindy the other day, we were going through the kitchen. I said, honey, it's been 15 years. I said, wow, that's gone quick, hasn't it? She goes, well.
Okay, do we have children?
We have
children.
Perfect, wonderful children.
Perfect.
All of them.
Between us, we have 7 adult kids.
Wow.
And they are phenomenal. Two of them live in this area, Jordan, our daughter, and our little grandchild, Kai. We have 6 grandchildren. But Kai and Jordan, her husband, BJ, and then Joe, who's about 6'2", 280, ripped to the hilt. You can see the family resemblance.
is radio.
This is radio, exactly. Right. He is in law enforcement in Port St. Lucie.
Excellent.
And is a member of the SWAT team and is a bit of a hero. He's had a chance to rescue some people in difficult situations. So we couldn't be more proud. He's the only one of the seven that's not married.
Wow.
So, you know, we're hoping that he one day will tie the knot as well. And then we've encouraged them all, make a lot of babies. We want tons of grandkids. So, yeah, that's our piece of our story.
Let's jump to one of your songs. Okay. Yeah. You know, Steve, I know you as a man of God and as a brother who loves the Word of God, who really breathes in and breathes out the heart of God, and I thank God for you in that. The very fact that I know you as a contemporary Christian artist, that contemporary part, you know, it may be misunderstood by some people today, but that's how I knew you. Give us a snippet of that, and then set up this song. We have a song that's entitled, where is it, Another Mile?
Yeah, thank
that's
you.
That's a recent song.
It is. I hadn't recorded in many years. I wanted to not let the church, especially in our early days here, where I would continue to do concerts and record and tour and other things, I wanted them to know that the church is the focus, the
priority.
Cross church.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so it was a few years back that people said, you know, different pastors put out study Bibles. They put out commentaries and they write books.
Right.
Why can't you record? And so several of the songs on the new album, it's self-entitled, just called Camp. But it's dealing with a lot of the woke issues that's going on in society now, especially the critical race theory issues, the diversity, equity, inclusive issues, all of that, where, you know, it's good for people to hear from time to time, America is not intrinsically racist. We're the only nation that lost 600,000 soldiers fighting the battle during the Civil War. And so a lot of this album, tough album for me to write, Jonathan, because I wanted to be biblically consistent and accurate without having to quote chapter and verse right. every single song. I wanted this to relate to the common man in the street as well as to church people so that we're not tying it up with a neat little bow at the end, because our lives are not that way. We right. are not compartmentalized and robotic in how we live for the Lord. We have to think these things through. We have to seek the Lord for wisdom and understanding. So Another Mile is a song about this, about what it means to walk another mile for someone that's going through their tragedies in their life, especially in the area of racial issues and persecution. So this is for that. Phil Kagi on guitar on this song, and I hope this will encourage you to think biblically about these contemporary issues.
Crushing your soul till you're standing tall, another mile will go. We gonna be alright, we gonna be alright. To feel all the pain you carry inside, the secrets you won't share that's choking your life. Clean out of hope till you're standing strong, another mile will go. We gonna be alright, we gonna be alright, we gonna be alright, standing strong, another mile will go. We gonna be alright, we gonna be alright, we gonna be alright, standing strong, another mile will go.
of our fathers that's choking our lives. Are we run out of time? We're clean out of hope till we all understand.
All right, so if we had more time, you could tell the story about that song, which is an amazing story. But, Steve, we need to get to the point about what God's doing right now. There's some amazing things happening. And for our listeners today, we have people that are in the body of Christ. You're looking for a church home. And I really believe everyone who is looking for a church home that would be in the area might want to listen, Steve, and find out where you all are. What God's doing with you. It's kind of fresh.
Thank you so much. I grew up in the church. I'm a churchman at heart. And I spent 95% of my life since the age of 17. So I've been saved for 52 years in more what people would refer to as a large or a mega church setting.
Sure.
1,000 plus people or more. And so when coming here to Palm City in our heyday here, I think we had 140 or so, 150 at the most. But then through practice of church restoration, through COVID, through some other issues, a church fluctuates, goes through the loss of some and the addition of others. But now we had a contract to sell some of our property because we've had a huge property with lots with another building and a parsonage. And long story short, it had been about a 3.5-year journey in the sale of that, but the builder had to go through several hoops, and rightly so, to meet community standards, to meet with, you know, the local governing boards here and city council and so forth, to maintain a standard of excellence. All to say is he approached us in February and said, you know what, I'd like to buy the whole thing. And we thought, boy, what do we do? And so what happened was we found a home out in Fort Pierce, right there on the Port St. Lucie, Fort Pierce line, right off Midway. If I can give the address,
please it's do.
4919 Pine Tree Drive, Fort Pierce, 34982, 4919 Pine Tree Drive, Fort
right
Pierce.
Off of Midway.
And, right and off of Midway.
And it's the southern side of Fort Pierce. And it so is. If yes. you're in Port St. Lucie or maybe even the Stewart area, it would not be a big drive. If you're in the Fort Pierce area, even north, it would be very reachable. So it's sort of on the south side of Fort Pierce.
No, yes. That's right.
In a beautiful neighborhood.
It is. Yes. It's just great. And we consider it a joy. And the Lord has allow us to expand with that property a little bit in redoing a garage and a back part of an acreage portion that we didn't even know was ours. We thought it was a reserve.
Beautiful, beautiful home, beautiful location.
Oh, thank you. And that's mostly due to my wife here. It's been great. But during this time, we hadn't found another church building, a church facility. And so we thought, in a circumstance beyond our control, our first Sunday, we had house church.
Right.
And as I started to study the scriptures, Philemon, 1 Corinthians, Romans, and Colossians, that for the first 300 years of the church in history was all house churches. When you read of these great churches in Galatia, Colossians, Laodicea, the others, they're house churches. And the first building of a church was discovered, I think, in 302, that maybe could seat about 25 people. Even the house churches in these other major cities were not huge at all. They didn't hold a lot of people. Well, we thought, well, during this time of transition, let's do house church. There's a couple of benefits: intimacy, prayer time together, all kinds of things. And so now, with not having an official corporate church building, I would call it, we're doing house church. And I learned that, again, for the first 300 years, this is how the early church met. And about 80% of all the churches around the world, especially the underground church in China, different places, they're all house churches. Yeah. And so we'd love to have you join us. If you're looking for a church, a household of faith, that is more personal, intimate, we haven't changed anything in our worship. We still are in the Word about 45 minutes to an hour on Sunday morning. We have great singing together. We celebrate the Lord's Supper every week. Our folks, though we're a smaller congregation, they cook amazing, not just my wife. And we eat well. We have great fellowship and prayer, and also a chance during the sermons to ask questions if they're not familiar with the tune. So a term that we'd be covering. So anyway, this is something that we are excited about, and I long to get back with you to maybe unpack this. But Sunday morning, 10 a.m., 4919 Pine Tree Drive in Fort Pierce. We'd love to have you come. And
your web presence, how can people find you on the web, because people want to do that?
Well, right now we're at crosschurchnet.org, but we haven't updated the website. It's under construction. So if they can simply remember that
phone number,
call the radio station. Okay. Phone number here would be 772-530-1744.
Excellent.
772-530-1744. Do we still have time for this?
We're going to do the song.
We do have time.
What time is your gathering?
10 a.m.
10 a.m.
On Sunday morning, we get done by 11:30, and then we have a great fellowship time afterwards, and it's for the whole family. It's for the entire family. So this is a song I wrote over the last few years called Sunday Used to Be. And it's a song that simply says that it used to be all about Jesus. It used to be about family and about others first before us. And it's one of those things that if we need to, let's get back to what Sunday used to be. It's a call to worship. It's a call to keep the Sabbath day for us as New Testament Christians holy. That Sunday is the day that we set apart for worship. Listen, we're not legalistic. If you're sick on a Lord's Day, if you're traveling somewhere,
sure.
But rest from your labor. If you're able to be in church on Sunday, be there. Otherwise, you're saying, I can just do Zoom and that's sufficient. It's not sufficient. And this is a call back to recover the centrality of the local church in worship. Listen, whether you're at a church of 1,000 or a house church, let's keep it biblical, reverential, honoring to the Lord in worship to Him.
Amen. That's awesome. That's awesome. I trust that both of you will come back and see us again soon.
Oh, we'd love to.
We'd love to. Thank you.
Thanks, brother.
Is loving a neighbor mere cliche? Has the golden rule become passé? Is the family Bible only for display? Its pages unopened and we remain unchained. Sunday used to be all about Jesus, and Sunday used to be about family all day. Sunday used to be
put others first before me. And though we've lost our way, we'll get back home when Sunday used to be. In the middle of living ordinary lives, have we forgotten love is sacrifice? Self-sufficient, self-reliant, self-absorbed, so blind. We say you need nothing, there's an emptiness inside. Our way, we'll get back home when Sunday used to be. Get back home. And though we've lost our way, we'll get back home when Sunday used to be.
All right, we're coming back. This is Wednesday Live, and we have a studio full of people now. And we just had the Camps with us, Steve and Cindy Camp, contemporary Christian artists many years going back, and now with some new music coming out that is hitting the devil between the eyes big time. And he's also, he and his wife have a home church up in the Fort Pierce area, south side of Fort Pierce. Great to have him with us. All right, John Nelson. John Nelson. You're normally, I'm talking to you on the phone most of the time, you know, when you're out traveling all over the world or something.
You know, I cannot deny that I have a very blessed life.
Well, you do have a blessed...
I think we all have a blessed life.
Well, we do. We do. And we give God the glory, don't we, for that?
Absolutely.
All right. So John, you know, today we have some young ladies here in the office, in the studio. And they have a bit of a God story, I think, that we're going to unpackage here today. And
absolutely,
I'm looking forward to that. And so Teresa seems to be sitting directly across from you, so I'm thinking maybe she has a bit of a story.
I think I think she has a pretty powerful story.
Awesome, awesome. And then we have Sassy, right?
That's it.
And so Sassy is with us, and we also have Jamie with us.
Hi.
And we got a hi out of Jamie. She's the shy one and a little quieter than everybody else. John, tell us what's going on.
You know, I've been around addiction for a long time. We're 12 years old. And when you finally get one person, because being in sober living or sober lifestyles, maybe one in 100 that you meet, and I'm going to say that adamantly, maybe one in 100, and I'm not saying that the other 99 don't grasp sobriety at their pace, but when you meet somebody that takes all the suggestions, gets away from the whole lifestyle that was bringing them to their knees,
yeah,
and has the fruits to show it a year later, you want to shout
that's
from
awesome.
The roof.
That's awesome.
You know, and we know that a year is just a scratch in the surface. But
it's an awesome beginning.
You know, this is a special awesome day beginning. Because this person actually got our phone number from the radio station.
From and I WCNO.
WCNO, the broadcast size of where the regions that this radio station hit, the best dollar we spend, because we get phone calls, and in this case there was a person that was reaching out because they were at such a dark place in their life that they were going to end their life.
Yeah.
You know, and it gives me I want to cry.
Yeah.
You know, when you we're losing 350 a day.
Wow.
To overdose. And then you get in the car today with women and you see God's alive,
yeah.
You know, and to see, and I know her family, they went to the heat. We brought the kids to the foster thing and met the ex-husband. And, you know, our families just want us better.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, well, she has a great story and let her tell it.
John, before we get there, because a lot of people don't know who John Nelson is, tell us about the ministry that you represent.
12 years ago, we started Families Against Drunk Driving. It was a personal thing, and probably 4 years in, we're a national 501c3. We do have the same rating as a lot of the big nonprofits, and that was very important because a lot of your big sponsors can't write checks to you unless
sure.
you have that credibility.
Right.
So that was first and foremost, but then when the opioids really came out with oxycodone, and everything that was going crazy with the pill craze, we found a need for a name that talked more about what addiction does. In Families Recover, it became real important to me
yeah.
because I've watched what it's done in my own family. And then you watch and what happens to other people's families
yeah.
that tow the rope.
Yeah.
You know, our mission, it's biblical. You know, we are here to be the mentors to the younger people.
That's it, yep.
You know, light is on. So Families right. Recover was born, and that's the name that we use. And it talks about, you know, that's more rounded than Families Against Drunk Driving. So I love the fact that we're with you guys. We've been partnering with you guys for a while. We are coming up on some fundraising. You know, everything we do costs money.
Yeah, it does.
You know, and there's years with COVID where, thank God, being a contractor locally, I was able to pay the bills to help other people. You can't outgive God.
No, true.
If you're listening right now, write this guy a check for this radio station. You can't outgive God.
Yeah.
I challenge you.
John, how can people on the web find you? How are the best ways to make connection with Families
Recover?
You
know, we use familiesrecover.org. It's okay. It's got a web link there. It's got a PayPal account if you want to make a donation. Like I said, we are a 501c3. And like I said, my phone number, I broadcast at 772-285-5828. We've been using that, I think, coming up on our fourth year with WCNO Radio. Call me. If you're sitting
it's
there right now.
It's your personal cell phone. You take the
call. If you're
calls.
Sitting there right now thinking about ending your life, or you're sitting there thinking about putting a needle in your arm, right now you call me. And
yeah.
I will make sure someone comes to you.
And that number is
772-285-5828. Enough about me.
Amen. All right, Teresa,
hi.
You were listening to WCNO.
Yes.
About a year ago.
Yes.
And what happened?
I had actually heard about it from one of the girls that I was in jail with.
Okay.
And she said it would be a good way to get help. And I had gotten out of jail, and I had $14 and nowhere to go or nothing. Mm.
What led up to that? What happened in one day in a courtroom? Let's set the stage so people really get the gist of where you were at.
I was on
probation for a DUI, which I was sober at the time, but I had been abusing prescription Adderall. And I had been up for like 3 days, so I was falling asleep driving. So I had gotten convicted of that and put on probation, and then I violated probation and went to jail. And it's mandatory 90 days. So my ex-husband had to take the kids in. They were living with me. So I lost the car I was driving, the place I was staying, my job, everything.
In one day.
In one day.
Yes.
After raising your kids alone for how many years?
Well, their dad would help them with me, but they lived with me up until then. So
like 13 years.
Yeah, 13 years. So.
So talk about when you got the first day out of jail.
I ended up going to stay at a relative of somebody that was in jail. She's like, they'll let you stay on the couch. But that was literally it. Like, I had no idea what I was going to do. And, like, by the time I had gotten a hold of John, I had already decided that I was... I was going to kill myself, but I didn't want to cause my kids any more trauma than I already had. So the only thing that was prevent me was I was trying to make it look like it was an accident. I was trying to think of some way that my kids wouldn't think that I did that. Mm. Is really what the story was.
Mm. Wow.
But I just couldn't come up with a good plan. That was all.
So you're listening to WCNO, and you made a call.
Yeah.
Did you call this number, 772-285-5828?
I don't remember.
Well, whatever number.
That was my number, yes.
Came through. You.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he answered the phone.
Yeah. And then he ended up helping me get into, it's called Oxford House.
Okay.
And that's where I'm still staying now.
So let's talk about the things of why would our organization help you? What were you doing? Even though she was in a suicidal, she's a sleep apnea professional. She's got certifications. She had actually done the work to get those hours to get her certification back while she was going through all this after jail.
Very diligent.
Begging for food.
Yeah. Wow.
Going to Publix and literally begging for food.
Mm. Yeah, my credential had I was supposed to renew it, and I was in jail at the time. Like, so I wasn't, when I got out, there was still a little window of opportunity, sort of. But I was in Gifford, so I was taking the bus to the library to get my CEUs and stuff.
Right.
So that I could do it, but I had no way to pay for it or nothing.
So that's where we kind of jumped in. She had called us, and we had met. And, you know, you got to really do your diligence when you're dealing with people like me.
Right.
You know my background. You probably should check it still, maybe. But we, you know, and that's what we do with people. You know, we're here to lift people up.
Yeah.
It's not to throw money at a person.
Yeah.
So we called the state, and they verified that she had done the courses to get her certification back. She'd been with this company forever. Called her boss. You know, not many people are going to let you call the boss. Right. Verify that if we paid this certification, could she come back to work?
Mm.
And he said, we need her back.
Wow. We need her back.
We need her back. See, she'd made some mistakes, but we've all made mistakes.
Yeah.
See, but then people think about what you've done that maybe they didn't see you as low as you were.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And she's with them to this day.
That's
so
awesome.
We had some money in the kitty, and we called the state, and we paid for the certification.
Mm.
And then she was living in a situation where they're at Publix begging people to give them food.
Wow.
So I asked her, I go, listen, today you have to, you either leave here or I can't help you any further. Because there's no staying sober in an environment like that.
Right.
And that's where she moved. She did it. This, everything that's been suggested, she's done.
That's awesome.
And moved into Oxford House, which if there's any ladies out there that need a place, they are strict. They do not play. They will put you on the street because it's life or death.
Yeah.
Right? You're either going to do the right thing or you're not. So there's no really gimme there. There's a guy's house here, Beach House. He's got three halfway houses local. He's the same way. You know, this is a disease that wants to cause chaos and call and eventually kill you. Teresa's life from suicide, gets her kids, or getting her license back this month.
Mm.
Then he'll get a car. Then you get into a place to live. And her kids, they love their mom.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You know, and everyone in this room and everybody listening, they just want us better.
Yeah.
They just want us better. One day at a time. Right? So, I mean, when you get...
Rebuilding.
Rebuilding.
Yeah.
We all needed to be rebuilt.
Hope.
Yeah. Hope. You know, and I can't say enough about the places like Oxford House that are around town for women, or the three women sitting in this room that have... I'm in sobriety. I'm very active in a 12-step program. I watch what happens. The girls come out, and they ain't got a shot in heck of staying sober,
yeah,
because they're either A, going to get into a relationship, or B, get into a relationship, or C, get into a relationship, and all of a sudden, you know what I'm talking about when it comes to recovery. All of a sudden, recovery becomes second,
yeah,
and then it becomes third, and then it becomes fourth. See, but... You know what happened to my wife?
Yeah.
She died to human trafficking. She had a needle in her arm.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Why do I want to help primarily moms and women? It's pretty easy, my mission. So, you know, it just, wow.
Teresa, what would you say? Somebody's listening today. They have a son, daughter. Somebody's listening today that's like you. Somebody said, listen, tune to this radio station. What would you say to them?
Just really pray for, there is hope.
Mm-hmm. There you go. There you go.
Because I really didn't think there was.
Yeah.
Or there wasn't, I couldn't see a way out. And there was, and I just am so thankful that I made the phone call.
Mm.
And then I just, and he's saying I did everything he said, but I was lost. I had no idea I would have did whatever he said at that point.
Broken.
Yeah.
So reach out.
Correct.
Reach out to somebody. You're listening today. You've got to reach out.
Yes.
Make that decision that where you are and what you're feeling is not your final address. Make a decision to move out of that place, wherever it is. Wherever make a decision that you're going to reach out. You're going to make a phone call. You're going to get a hold of someone. You're going to check yourself in. You're going to do something today to move out of that place of despair.
That's yes. Right. Because I had messed up my life so tremendously that I really didn't think it was repairable. So if anybody thinks that theirs isn't, it still is.
Isn't that something how the enemy tells us you're at the end of a dead-end street and there's no place to go from here?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The liar.
Yeah, the lie of the devil. That's exactly what he does. Okay, now there's two other ladies in the room.
Yes.
Who are these ladies?
Go ahead, Sassy.
Hi, my name is Sassy. I also live at the Oxford House. And I, too, am in recovery. I've come a long way from the person I used to be and that lifestyle of just devastation. I lost my daughter. I just had a five-month-old, and here I am today, and I'm still here.
And Oxford allowed you to have your baby.
Yes, Oxford allowed me to live there with my son. I actually moved into an Oxford home when he was 2 weeks old.
Nice.
Wow.
Yep.
So you're how long into your recovery journey at this time?
My sobriety date is May 1st of 2023, so I have a little over a year.
Little over a year.
Mm-hmm.
And how does faith tie into your recovery?
I was homeless, and I was struggling to get through daily, couldn't take showers. I was staying in a car that was broken down, didn't even move, no AC, and I went to the emergency room because I thought that I possibly had some kind of illness, and I actually ended up finding out that I was pregnant, and I was, at that point, I didn't know what I was going to do. I knew in some way that God had did this for a reason, so I just absolutely I gave myself over to him. And in that moment, truthfully, in that moment, because my ears were ringing, I didn't know what to think, I didn't know what to say, I didn't know how to react.
Mm.
And I was, I knew that I was powerless in my life over a lot of things that I couldn't control, and there was no way that I was gonna get through this stage, you know, after I had been punishing myself for so long from my addiction and losing my daughter, and here was my second chance of, like, I felt to get everything, you know, back on the right track. And I checked myself. I started detoxing, and I was, like I said, desperate to stay sober. So I checked myself into treatment, and I needed a place to go. I was still homeless, and I was, you know, going into my 7th month of pregnancy, and I was not sure where I was going to bring my son home to. I, you know, I still haven't spoke to my daughter in 3 years, and I just didn't, you know, I didn't know exactly how I was going to get through things. And I was struggling. I kept thinking about going back out, and I just wanted to stay clean. So I seeked a place that had, like, it was a peer service, and they are also faith-based, and I they gave me some resources, and one of them was Oxford. And I moved into Oxford from that point on, and like I said, I seek treatment, and the day before I went to turn myself into the rehab that I was going to, I ended up going into labor, and and from that point,
healthy boy?
Yes, healthy boy. He was,
God is good, isn't he?
Yes, he is very good. Amen. Wow.
So had you hit the bottom in a sort of way before, and was this different this time?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The places that you can carry yourself to are unbelievable at times.
And so what would you say to the people that have said, I've tried this before and it doesn't work? Because the devil will tell you that.
Absolutely. Right? You know what? It doesn't matter. What I've said before is you can try a thousand times, and it's that 1,001 that That's you right. can get yourself together, and you'll never look back. You just keep picking yourself back up and keep putting that first foot forward, and you will eventually get to where you want to be. And God will carry you every step of the way.
Take a step. Take a step. Take a step today.
Even with a baby.
Even with a baby, a newborn baby.
And that three-year-old's coming back.
I just got reunified with my three-year-old.
How would you think? See?
That's awesome.
If you're a parent out there right now, I was the same boat. I couldn't even see my own kids.
Yeah.
And then I ended up raising all three of them.
Jamie's telling me she can't say a thing. Jamie can't say a thing.
No, please.
Jamie, how long have you been at Oxford?
6 months.
6 months, okay. Yeah. Has it been good?
Yeah. I'm really grateful for everyone there.
Is it tough?
It's discipline. So.
Let me ask you this. If you want to change, is it tough?
It can be tough at first, but I feel
like...
Is
it worth it?
Yeah, it's definitely worth it.
Because you can see progress.
Yeah. Definite progress.
So you're gaining ground?
Yeah. It was a little wobbly at first.
Wobbly at first.
Because they're tough.
Yeah, okay.
They're disciplined.
I don't think it's tough compared to how we were living.
Oh, yeah. No, not at all.
Well, because you guys all surrendered.
It's so nice to go to bed in a safe place and with air condition and friends. Wow. And just things that...
Yeah.
You think it's going to be hard, but I don't think it is. It's
when you're ready.
Yes.
Because how many girls have you seen come and go in your year?
Yeah.
How many? Just in your house?
Well, I don't know.
20?
No.
10?
A lot.
Okay.
A lot.
Yeah.
Because they just weren't ready.
They weren't
ready.
And
that's okay. Listen, if you're listening and you're struggling right now and you're not ready, don't give up.
Yeah.
It took me years to get sober because I'm hard-headed.
Yeah. And it doesn't hurt to say, God, help me get ready.
Yeah. And he will.
Help me get ready. Because, you know, some people are 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, and you can still get ready. God can still get you ready. It's not too late, wherever you are. And a lot of people, you know, they face things. Their life has come to different crossroads, and the enemy is saying, there's nothing to faith. Look